Turn your Bible, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read two verses. If you get a chance to read about Jesus Loves Even Me in the bulletin, Philip Bliss was hearing all these songs about the people's love for Jesus. And it bothered him that they weren't talking enough about His love for us. So that's the foundation for that song, Jesus Loves Even Me. Let's look at two verses in Hebrews 11. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 11 is a sort of an introduction, a summary of God's family that are mentioned in the Old Testament. Many, many more people that believed in the Lord were there, but Hebrews chapter 11, there God sort of introduces us to His family. When I get to introduce my family at religious instruction class on the first day, I asked the kids 10 questions about themselves. What's your favorite food? What do you do for fun? And so forth. Just trying to get to know the kids a little bit. After I've asked the 10 questions, I will show them this photo. And I talk about my kids. I say the bigger girl, her name is Clarice. We call her Reese. And she's finishing her uni now, wants to become a teacher. She's getting married in June. And then I say Bryce. Bryce is about as tall as I am, likes to beat me up when he can. Not really, okay, please don't get alarmed, but we still play fight some. But he is in Brisbane now. Going to start, hopefully, uni in July to be a teacher himself. And then we, you know, both the kids worked at Subway and stuff like that. And then I tell them about Emily, that she was born with a bad heart and she passed away a little bit before she was 2 years old. In fact, she would be graduating this year if she were here. But I tell people about my kids. Now, I don't tell them. I don't tell them about the times my kids got in trouble. I could. I don't remember them all. I probably remember me getting in trouble more than I remember them getting in trouble when I was growing up. That's just not something that when I'm introducing my kids that I go into. And in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, the Lord tells us about His family. He mentions Noah. He mentions Abraham. He mentions Jacob and Sarah. He mentions Moses. Now, there's more people than this that He mentioned. He mentions Gideon and Barak and Samson and David. He mentions all these people. Some men, some women. And he more lists the things that are good about them. In fact, he says of all these people that by faith, these people that lived long ago, obtained a good report that they were faithful. He says that twice in this chapter. And then he says that God's got something planned for them and for us. That He has heaven waiting on them. He says of them, of whom the world was not worthy. he says of them that they obtained a good report through faith and that he will be with them in eternity. You know what he doesn't do in Hebrews chapter 11? He does mention, he does call Rahab, Rahab the harlot. But for the most part, these people, he doesn't talk about the fact that Noah got drunk in Genesis 9. Or that Abraham struggled with lying, with being deceitful. Or Jacob, his deceitfulness. Doesn't tell us about Sarah laughing, full on laughing, and denying that she laughed when God says, she's going to have a baby. Doesn't tell us about Moses losing his temper. In fact, otherwise says he's the meekest man on earth. Doesn't tell us about the fear of Gideon or of Barak. Saying, Deborah, I'll go if you'll go. If you're not going to go, I'm not going to go. Doesn't say that. Didn't tell us of all the different problems that Samson had. Won't go into all those. All the different problems. Living by the flesh, living just always constantly. Didn't tell us about David's sin with Bathsheba. Or his putting Uriah to death. Didn't tell us any of those things. This morning, I was amazed, and I hope that you're amazed, that Jesus loves even me. And though it's a very simple thought, it's how deep the love of Jesus. Oftentimes, I agree with this writer who said, I often go through life thinking that God is generally displeased with me. I see my sin, I see my failings, and I see my heart. At the same time, I see from Scripture God's majesty, His holiness, and His perfection. And when I put these together, I believe that God must be looking at me with at least some level of disgust. You ever there? You ever there? The writer goes on to say, I've had this all wrong. As I study God's Word, I learn about who God is. See that He is a proud Father who is lavish with His love. Jesus loves even me. I know He loves even me, even though I have a past. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's the Apostle Paul saying that. Just a little bit earlier in the chapter before, he had talked about in verses 23 and 24 about the fact that he had used to been God's enemy. In fact, 1 Timothy 13 and 14, 1, 13 and 14 says, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant. He says in Galatians 1, but they had heard only that he that persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. Sometimes when we consider our past, we may get overwhelmed. And not want to go there. We may feel the weight of our sin and ask, how could God love me? How could anyone love me? But we're assured here in Galatians chapter 2 that He does love me. He does love you. He loves us despite our past. He loves us in the midst of our problems. He loves us in the midst of our problems. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If we ever think the Lord is against us, now, if He's rebuking us, just say, yeah, Lord, You're right and I'm wrong. I'm afraid sometimes we think God is just there and just willing. Oh, you messed up today. Pop! I guess He could do that. That's just not His care. He gave Him to die on the cross for our sins. If He did that, He's vested. He's vested in you. He's vested in me. Cares. It says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He cares. And then, the verses. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall pressure? What pressures we go through in life, could they separate us from God? Nope. The distresses or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, any of these separate us from God? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that what? That loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angel nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Whatever problems we're going through right now, the Lord loves you just the same. Just because He lets a difficulty in your life doesn't mean He's loving you any less. In fact, nothing, no problem, no situation can separate you from that love. How incredible. How wonderful. And then, the process of parenting will not separate us from His love. In fact, have you forgot the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him? To be honest. How many of us, when life is going hunky-dory, we might have a tendency to forget the Lord a little bit? When everything is just going smooth, and I know sometimes it's not that way, but we can be prone to wonder. But, you know, when things are going hard, hopefully it's drawing us closer to Him. It says there, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he of whom the Father chasteneth not? He loves you. He loves you. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. What's the Lord working in your life for you to become like? He loves you so much that He wants you to be like His Son. I agree with this one. You know, when the parent says, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you, When you're a kid, you don't believe that. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So what? How should we respond to our Father's love when He is molding us, when He is changing us, when He, through His love, is helping us with whatever He's using to get our attention, to get our attention to Him? How should we respond? Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Don't quit. Don't stop. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. What did you guys learn about at church yesterday morning? That Jesus loves even me. And I hope that truth doesn't just go in one ear and out the other. I hope it gives us hope. I hope it gives us comfort and a spring in our step to know that when God looks at us, this is Kelly. This is Jared. This is Jan. He doesn't look at us. When He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the hope that we have in Christ. Thank You for Your great love to us. And Father, You could just continually point out things that we do wrong. You could continually do that. You could continually point out ways where we come short. Lord, we thank You for Your love. And Father, You do address those things in our lives. You do correct us. You do desire to change us. It's not that You just let things go. Thank You, Lord, that You do love us. Thank You for Your faithfulness to us. Father, use this truth to encourage us to follow You more and to be a witness and a light of Your amazing grace. Jesus loves even me. Thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.